John chapter 10. And we read from verses 22 to 30. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. For my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So far the reading from God's Word. The theme this morning, brothers and sisters, is the perseverance of the saints. And our perseverance depends not on our own actions, but purely on the actions of God Triune. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now in the second part of a two-part sermon on the perseverance of the saints. Yes, last time when I spoke to you, we heard the first part. And the message there was that those who have been born from above by God's Holy Spirit will persevere in their God-given faith. And in that first part, we heard the sad reality that those who have been born from above can still sin, sometimes even grievously so. But when they sin, God will discipline them to keep them on the straight and narrow, lest they fall away from God forever, if that was possible. We also heard that the means by which you and I can persevere in Christian faith is by reading the scriptures and being immersed in it, through observing and participating in the sacraments, through prayer, through corporate worship and Christian fellowship, through actively serving God with gifts He has given us, and through winning souls for Christ. These are the God-given means by which you and I will persevere in our faith. But now we come to part two. Part two teaches us the grounds on which the saints of God will always persevere and will never fall away from the faith. And here, up front, is a vital truth. The grounds of our perseverance do not lie in us. You see, even though you and I have been born again, and even though you and I have a new will in Christ, there still remains enough sin in us to leave us vulnerable to temptation. So, left to our own weak will, even the born from above person would not persevere in our God-given faith. So, wherein does our confidence lie that you and I will never fall away from the faith? What gives you and me absolute certainty that we will, until our dying day, persevere in our God-given faith? Well, the answer is because of God's unchangeable covenant with each believer. A covenant that rests on the faithfulness of the three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So this is the first point of our sermon this morning. Rely on the faithfulness of God the Father. Beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why you and I can be absolutely certain that we will never fall away from our God-given faith is the fact that God is unchangeable. It is that He is consistent and trustworthy, and that He does not have a plan B. In other words, those whom God before the foundation became chose to be His own, He will now never ever change His mind on them. You see, we as humans always have plan B's, don't we? And sometimes plan C's. Because we can never know for sure if our plan A will work. But God does not need a plan B. Because His plans He has decided on will never fail. And because He can never change His mind. From before time began, yes, from before the foundation of the world, God has known His people. And He has chosen to be saved in Jesus Christ. And because of God's unchangeableness or immutability, He is now not going to look at, let's say, Sally and Johnny and say, oh yes, Sally and Johnny, from all eternity I did choose to save you in my son. But now I realized I made a mistake. So now I'm going to unchoose you. No, God's very nature is unchangeable. Look, is this not why His name is Yahweh? I am who I am. So because of God's unchanging nature, He will never say, sorry, I once chose you, but now I've changed my mind. You see, Paul says to Timothy, the Lord knows those who are His. God knows whom He has chosen. Dear brother and sister, surely each one of us will know whether we belong to God through Jesus Christ. Indeed, each one of us will know whether the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts. Now, if you know that, then we can stand in awe, because we can be assured that we are one of whom God has chosen before time has begun. And if you know that, then you can rest assured that God will now not change His mind on you, but that tomorrow and the day after and forever you are going to remain in the state of grace in which you are now. Indeed, once God has set the process of your salvation in motion, the final outcome is assured. You see, that's why Paul could with certainty say to the Philippians, and I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. By God's unchangeable nature, He always finishes what He starts. We read in 2 Timothy 2:17 to 19. Among them there are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the faith, from the truth, saying that the resurrection has happened already. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. My brother and sister, God's nature is unchangeable, but so too is His love. That's why through Jeremiah, God was able to say to His loved ones from Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And that's why through Hosea 9:19, God said to His loved ones among Israel, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Well, talking of this faithful, loyal, unchanging love of God, by which he holds his persevering loved ones in his sure grip, R.C. Sproul gave the following illustration. He said, "My mother-in-law lived with us for a time, and everywhere we went, I helped her to walk. Because she was in a brace, she didn't like me to hold her arm. She wanted me to offer my arm so that she could hold on to me. But that way, her stability was only as good as her grip on me. If I was really to watch out for her and protect her, I had to have a firm hold of her arm in case she stumbled." Similarly so, he says, is our preservation. God has taken hold of us. If it were up to us, we would let go. But he will never let go. We do not fail because he keeps us from failing. We do not fall because he keeps us from falling. So far, point one on God the Father. Because, as we've read, the grounds of our confidence in God the Father lie in his unchangeable nature. Let's look at God the Son. My brother and sister, as we've heard in the first sermon, even the born-again and persevering Christian could fall into grievous sins, and from time to time continue in them. It is at this stage that some churches will say, "But let the sinner do some penance," which means the sinner must now spend time, more time in prayer, or more time in reading the Bible, or more time in spiritual books, or he must do some tough acts of penitence, like fasting, abstaining from food, alcohol, tobacco, etc. If that's not enough, then the sinner could still do self-flagellation. In other words, the sinner must do something to make amends for his sin. He must make satisfaction for his sins. Wow. How far off the mark and unbiblical this doctrine is. The biblical view is that neither the sinner nor the sinning saint can ever make amends for his or her sins, and can never expiate his sins or her sins, because the kind of merit that even the persevering saint can offer to God is only demerit. So does the sinning saint doubt whether he or she is still in Christ? Or does the sinning saint perhaps think that they've fallen away from the faith forever? Then come and confess your sins before God in the name of Jesus, because in Christ's merit you can stand. Christ's merit is perfectly effective, for that's how God designed it to be. Indeed, whenever someone gets born from above by the Spirit, at that stage Christ's merit is the grounds on which that person's sins are forgiven forever. But you see, Christ's merit is not just effective when we first received him as Lord and Savior. No. His merit stays effective in the life of the sinning but persevering saint. Yes, our Lord's merit does not at some point in future lose its effectiveness. But there's more. For you see, you and my continuance in the Christian faith rests not only on our Lord's single, once-for-all offering of himself for our sins, but also on his ongoing pleading for us, on his intercession for us with the Father. In this regard, remember again how our Lord Jesus prayed, already in advance for the persevering but weak Peter. Yes, remember how God forewarned this saint, saying, "Peter, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might shift you like wheat." In other words, "Peter, I know what Satan will do with you, and that you will crumble like dust, but my mercy is there for you." But my brother and sister, hear how Jesus continues. He says to Peter, "But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. See? It's unthinkable how someone who looks to Christ and understands what the Lord has done for him and her would ever worry about losing his or her salvation. The only way born-again Christians could ever lose his or her salvation would be if our Savior would forever die or would change his mind on loving us, both of which can never happen. For Christ can never die, nor can he ever change his mind, for these things are totally foreign to the character of Christ, who, like his Father, is unchangeable. Is this not why the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 13:8. See why the Apostle Paul was able to burst out in praise and awe in Romans 8:38, saying that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ, and that we are more than conquerors, and that neither death, demons, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. As God's word says, Christ always lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Well, so far point two on the Son. Here's the last point on God the Holy Spirit. The third ground on which the saint can be sure that he or she will persevere up to the end in our God-given faith is the Holy Spirit's work within us. You see, the Holy Spirit does not just work new birth in us. No, he ministers within us. And so works the process of our spiritual growth and sanctification. Indeed, our Lord Jesus says in John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. He dwells with you and will be in you. In 1 John 2:27, John writes to the Christian readers, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. So what do we see? Well, we see that you and I have God's seed. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And not just for a time, not just for one day, but forever. Which gives you and me solid grounds to be confident that we will persevere in our God-given faith. And the Bible talks of the Holy Spirit being two things, a seal and a guarantee. My brother and sister, some churches believe that the outward sign of baptism makes an indelible mark on the person baptized. Now that's already strange and unbiblical. But what's even more strange is that some churches believe that a baptized person can commit a mortal sin. A sin which, unless a person does penance, can take him or her to hell. Which would then mean that the person has gone to hell with the indelible sign of the Holy Spirit on him. Well, what comfort does such unbiblical teaching give to believers? Instead, the true biblical teaching is that it's not with outward baptism that a person receives the indelible sign of the Holy Spirit, but with spiritual baptism. Yes, at the time when a person gets born from above, now such person is one of God's elect. So such a seal is indeed indelible for God's elect, will persevere to the end, and will never enter hell. So what comfort to all God's loved ones, to you and to me, that we have the Holy Spirit in us as a seal or as a mark given to us by the King of the universe. And this seal is indelible. It cannot be erased. It's permanent. It's forever. With it, we have been sealed for the day of redemption. But what about the Holy Spirit as guarantee? My brother and sister, in our day and age, the word earnest or guarantee is still used in the concept of earnest money. For example, if you have made an offer on a house which you want to purchase, then if you're very sure that you want that house, You could make a cash payment to the owner up front at the time when you make the offer on their house. The keener you are to buy, the more earnest money you will put down. And the more earnest money you put down with your offer, the happier the sellers will be. But also, the greater your chances of getting the house. If your offer is then accepted so that you buy that house, then the earnest money is returned to you. However, if you withdraw your offer on that house, then you may even forfeit your earnest money. Well, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to each born from above person, to you and to me, is God's earnest payment, showing how serious is He to finish what He has begun in us. It's God's guarantee. So as for the saint who has sinned and is now worried that he must forever have fallen, might forever have fallen away from God, let such person be assured and comforted that although he and she might have grieved the Holy Spirit who dwells within him or her, he or she will never fall away from God. Not because of anything good in them, but because of God's earnest guarantee signed and sealed in their hearts. Should this now make the Christian to say, oh wow, now I can keep on sinning? Because I can never fall away from God's grace? No, the true believer will never even think of saying that. Rather, the true believer will be grieved with sin in his or her life. The true believer, persevering saint will rather stand and live in awe of God's unbreakable covenant with him or her. People of the Lord, the saint is one who will want to praise God triune by putting his money where his mouth is, by walking the talk. Our Lord Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Believe this. Praise be to the God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit for the work of redemption that they do in our lives every day. Amen.